Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everyone to the house of the Lord. Those that are joining us online as well, we welcome you. Let's just have a word of prayer before we would get started in our teaching for tonight. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to gather once more. We trust, Lord Jesus, that you would get glory and honor out of our coming together. Lord, help us to hear and receive your word. We want to draw close to you. We want to live according to the word of God. I pray your blessings upon those that have made it, those that are still on the way. Give trial and mercies to God. And may you just get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise from all that is done here tonight. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's just open our Bibles here to Ephesians 4. Just a few verses here that I'd like to read, maybe starting here at verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And just, you know, we just kind of process through this. The sermon that I preached a couple weeks ago, change. When a person truly comes to Christ, there should be a change, right? What scripture's telling us that there is an old man that we used to have, but we have to put off the old man. And when we're walking as Christians, there's a new man that comes alive, right? And if we're still seeing the old man, then we have to question whether true conversion has taken place, right? And, you know, as we go through this lesson tonight, one of the things that I feel is, man, the church has let people down. That the church has let folk down. And what I mean by that is that because they have compromised on the word of God, there are many people absolutely confused. And it's a shame before God that people end up in some of the situations they end up. I was just, you know, last week when we were talking here, I was telling you all that we don't know what type of situations we're going to run into. Right. One of the things for sure, I can guarantee you what you will see is, you know, these lesbian relationships and homosexual relationships all over the place. And even in the church, it's just being accepted in the church. I mentioned to you all that you don't know what you'll see, and you can't just put people out and, you know, and all that. It's sin. God's not pleased with it. But, you know, it's a soul there, too. Right. And you have to somehow be able to figure out how to get to that soul. And I was just telling you all, you know, all about that very next day. I got a telephone call from somebody, and they were just telling me how they just really appreciate, you know, my teaching on the scriptures and things like that. And then they began to tell me their story. And as I heard their story, I said, oh, my goodness. This is going to be something, you know. And, you know, I said, well, you know, the Lord allowed them to cross my path for a reason. So we have to figure out how to bring truth to the people. Amen. Right. Truth is what make them free. Truth is what makes them free, you know. And you know, and you know, just hearing this story, just it, I felt so sorry, because this couple met in church. How you meet in church? How do you do that, right? And as a church, you know what? We just have to tell the truth, right? And we got to read the scriptures so people understand, especially our young people. There are things that are absolutely wrong according to the word of God, right? And we cannot compromise. This is why, you know, when Paul is writing this, amen, when you look at verse 17, I say this therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We cannot let down the standards. We can't do it, right? And I mean, and what happens here is that people will certainly try to get you to compromise. Well, you know, what about this and what about that? I don't have an answer for all those things, but here's what I do have an answer for. The scriptures say this is wrong, and I got to stay with this word. Praise the Lord. Amen. I got to stay with this word no matter what. Family, no family, it's got to be the word. And look at it now. Let's just keep reading. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Glory to God. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Glory. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. All right. I think we'll stop there with our reading. I want to go back here to our just some key statements, and I'm on slide 24. You all just bear with me. I had a change of weather patterns, and it's cold in Washington. I mean, Vancouver. It's cold. I had to wear a jacket, so I come back here with a little head cold. So y'all just bear with me. And it's not COVID. I did take a test, and it's negative. It's a head cold, but I won't trouble you. But just bear with me. I'm just fighting all kind of things here. So y'all bear with me. Let's go to slide 24. This first statement says there is a group of people that God, by foreknowledge, has opened their eyes of understanding, and they can see. So it's going to be a group of people that understand the word of God, and they're going to follow the word of God. I was sharing a little earlier this morning how, you know, we're going to a wedding supper. And in order to go to a wedding supper, we have to realize that the wedding had already taken place. And so where did it take place? It took place right here on the earth. When the word was presented to us, we accepted it, right? And that it's like taking vows, you know. Will you honor, obey, praise God? Will you honor this word? Will you obey this word, right? Will you, in sickness and in health, when you really going through, when you done prayed and God ain't answered your prayer, will you stay true to the word? For richer or for poor, you're behind in your bills, And, you know, will you stay true to the word? Praise God. Amen. And those that have made that commitment, yes, Lord, in sickness and in health, for rich or for poor, you know, I'm committed to this word. Oh, when my family is turning against me, I'm committed to the word. Hallelujah. I got to take a stand sometime, and they don't understand why I'm doing it, but I'm committed to this word. Oh, Jesus. I got married to the word of God. And the other thing is, I love it, right? I love the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not trying to, make ourselves anything more than what we are, but I'm married to this word. This right here, I say amen to everything I see in it. I forget what the fellow say, but he said from kiva to kiva, from cover to cover. Amen. I'm married to it. All right. So there's a people that has opened their God by foreknowledge has opened their eyes of understanding. Here, faith doesn't come by fasting. Faith doesn't come by praying, reading a book. All of that's good, fasting, praying, and reading a book. But faith comes by settled something that's in the human heart. All right. This next statement here, God will be obligated. If he don't punish this nation and this world for its sins, he'll be morally obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for burning them. And like I said, this is just a very common statement that we hear. But really, when we look at where we are in our world today, this is more real today than it's ever been. And look, I'm going to just be honest. People will not get by with this sin. Amen. You know, I like to tell people like this, you might come to church with certain things, but you ain't going to heaven like that. You ain't going to heaven. You might walk up in the church with certain stuff, but you will not be going to heaven. Praise God. Amen. God will judge sin. God will judge sin. And this is the thing that I like to try to get to people. Look, you know, you can try to blame this person and that person, and everybody get blamed. You want to put the blame on everybody except yourself. You got to take the blame. You made the decision, and you're the one that needs to repent, right? And you can't put it off on this person, that person, because they no. If that was the case, if that was really the case, then everybody in the family would be the same way. Praise the Lord. Everybody in the family would be the same way if that was the case. No, that's not the case. You made a decision. You're going to face God with your decision one day. You stand before a holy God. Amen. A holy God. All right. Amen. Don't judge. The word is what judges, right? The word is what judges. The word gives us exactly where we're supposed to be standing in this hour. So we're not judging, but I tell you what, we're going to speak this word. And why do you think everybody want to go against Christianity? The only thing that's not tolerable is Christianity. We pull out scriptures and this is what we believe. That's not tolerated. Amen. I believe what God said. Amen. All right. He said this, don't be run over. You don't have to be run over. If God's for you, who can be against you? I thank God for that. Amen. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? Next statement says, but when true Bible believers see the word so openly vindicated for the age, they believe there's no way to keep them from it. No way to keep them from it. All right. This statement here says, because we were first created for the purpose to control, to rule, and to praise God, and to live for God. I want you to remember something. When you're coming in contact with spirits, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I don't care what spirit you come in contact with, the God in you is greater than that spirit. Amen. You don't have to be run over. Amen. You don't have to be run over. Praise God. Mm. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him. My. All right. Let's slip over here. I'm going back to verse 19, I believe. And I read to you all some scriptures last week. We looked at, let's see here. We looked at prophecy. I took you to Luke 17. Let me just pull that slide. I think it's slide 29. Here in verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And again, you have to bring in 17 and 18 to kind of understand 19 and 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And we went back to prophecy out of the book of Luke 17. And when you get there, you see that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And then it goes a little further. He says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And pretty much what we're seeing there is that there would be a conglomeration of sin that hits the earth at the same time. And, you know, the sin that kind of comes into the earth is this homosexuality. All right. And then on top of that, oh, my, you know, just the marital issues. Now, watch how the devil works. You get a young lady that gets into a relationship with a man and she get hurt by this man. When she gets hurt by this man, all of a sudden she get this spirit on her. I don't need no man. I don't need no man. And when you get to talking like that, there's a woman sitting there listening to you and she wants to engage in that conversation about how she's been hurt too by a man. And before you know it, they done got into something and don't even know how they got there. She didn't need no man, but she also didn't need no woman either. Praise the Lord. Right? But these spirits are just here in the land today. And it's an onslaught. So, you know, I have to say these things, especially for our youth. You know, y'all got to be careful. There is a spirit. It attacks. That homosexual spirit is attacking everybody. Yes. Everybody. You got to understand this is a spiritual battle. And this is something that, you know, we know was coming because Jesus told us it would be here, right? Jesus said it was going to be here. So it's not that we can just go hide somewhere and act like it don't exist. No, it's real. It's real. But it's a spirit. Right. Ain't nothing normal and natural about it at all. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. How are you going to be fruitful and multiply? A woman with a woman and a man with a man. It's completely against what God established at the beginning. And God didn't make no mistakes when he made Adam, when he made Eve. You know, they used to say that all the time and people don't like it no more. But he said he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. They don't like that. But it's the truth anyhow. God did not pull a rib out of Adam and made another man. That ain't what happened. It was a woman that completed Adam. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, these things here, you know, when we say these things, it's considered hate speech. One day, you know, I've already seen it on social media. They just take down certain sermons, certain things. They'll just take it down. It's hate speech. It's not hate speech. It's the Bible. And God just gave us instruction on how he want us to live. So, you know, I took you all to Luke chapter 17. We also took you to Romans chapter 1. People just giving over to just sin. And you know, they're not even, the natural use of their bodies is, it's not being used like that anymore. Amen. Glory to God. It's not even being used like that no more. But I wanted to just quickly, if I can, let's go back to Genesis 19. We'll see where, you know, kind of all this stuff got started. Genesis is the seed chapter. And so the spirits that we see today, it started somewhere else. You know, it started somewhere else. So let's go here to Genesis 19. And I guess I didn't read that. Here, Genesis 19 in verse 1. Now, what we gather here before this chapter, God himself came down with two angels and they paid a visit to Abraham. Abraham saw three, but he said, "My Lord," when he saw three, because he realized that this was God in flesh. But when Lot sees two, it's "My Lord." So he had the wrong revelation, you know, just coming right out of the gate. Lot had the wrong revelation. But we want to see the conditions of the land. And this is, you know, I mentioned this earlier in our teaching. We realize sin is sin. Everybody tell you, well, sin is sin. The lie, the thief, you know, the adulterer, all that is sin. You're right, absolutely right. But it's something about this sin that caused God to come down and destroy. Amen. All right, so look, verse 1 says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, 'Behold, now, my lords,'" wrong revelation, "'turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways.' And they said, 'Nay, but we will abide in the street all night.'" Now, Brother Branham tells us that these two angels actually are investigating angels of judgment. It says these UFOs that we see nowadays, these are the angels of God coming down to investigate. They see him, you know, the reason that these angels want to stay in the streets because they've heard about the sin in the city and they want to dwell in the streets to see what's going on in this city. Now, the thing is, Lot realized how sinful it is. So Lot is pressing angels, "No, you don't want to stay out here in these streets. No, you need to come on in my house. There's only safety in my house. I mean, you don't need to stay out here." Praise God. You know, if there, as believers, we should be keeping our brothers and sisters from certain situations. Come on, somebody. Right? No. Oh, hallelujah. You ain't going to have no sleepover. And you know these spirits are coming to the sleepover. Your little nephew, your little niece got these spirits on her. You want to invite her to the sleepover. I'm just trying to win her. We bring her to a sleepover by herself. But you don't bring the saints into an environment like that. Right. Amen, church. Amen. You know what stuff getting ready to happen. And you don't bring the saints into an environment. Protect the saints. I wouldn't want you to get caught up in nothing. Amen. You know, I mean, these things happen at sleepovers. That's where these spirits just kind of get released on somebody. Well, no, you got to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at all. All right? And he pressed upon them greatly, and turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. Now, ain't that something? You got young people involved in it and old people involved in it. This sin is, it transcends generations. This is not just a problem for the young people. Hey, this is a problem for the older people too. Amen. Glory to God. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, it's not asking them their name, their telephone number, their address. No, this is sexually trying to get to know them. This is what's going on. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now, I need y'all to understand there are some big problems in the scripture. Lot's daughters are married, but they have not known their husbands. This is a problem. Their husbands actually are in this alternative lifestyle, but yet married to Lot's daughters. Young ladies, be careful what you get married to. There's a reason, and you know, I know. I tell this, and some of the brothers told me. Now, I don't know about that, Brother Jack, but I've seen it happen, where people get married for sometimes social status. Sometimes it might be to, you know, for a tax status. Right, people got married for all kind of reasons, but they didn't have no real relationship. They might be sleeping in other rooms. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, young sister, you be careful who you. That's why you watch a young man that's growing up in the church. Know what family he coming from. Young man, do the same thing. Watch that young lady in the church. Know what family she coming from. Know what you're getting yourself involved in. You go put, just, I'm just, get me somebody. Uh-huh. You got somebody, all right. But there's problems here. Look at it. Let's keep reading. Well, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. They said, stand back. And they said, again, this one fellow came to sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Now, this is, can I ask a question? Where the police to stop all this? See, the law is in their favor. But the man put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now, let's just pause there just for a second. Brother Branham tells us that these two angels represent Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Right. And it says the preaching of the gospel actually blinds the people. And let me just put it this way. The weak preaching of the gospel. The weak preaching of the gospel blinds the people. This is why people can get Let's put it this way. People meet in church and have a homosexual relationship and get married after they met in church. That's a shame. That's weak preaching of the gospel. Right? I mean, nobody read Genesis 19. Nobody picked that up. And it's like, you know, what do we do with this? God put it there for a reason, to warn us of some things. And then Jesus say, hey, as it was in the days of Lot, it's going to be the same way when I return again. We know that spirit is here. We know it's here. And ain't no sense in us playing games with it. We cannot be like other Gentiles. We can't walk like other Gentiles. We got to walk differently. We got to live differently. No. Now, if somebody make a choice to live whatever lifestyle, that's on them. But I would just tell them, you're going to meet God. You're going to meet God one day. You're going to meet God. You can, whatever. Look, and look, I just don't think I'm going to be hanging out with you. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of folk I wouldn't hang out with. If I know a guy got a drug problem, I wouldn't be hanging out with him. Alcohol problem, I wouldn't be hanging out with him. Praise the Lord. If a guy got a lust spirit, I wouldn't be hanging out with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, there's just certain things. Oh, Lord, help us, God. You know, a minister one time came to visit, and when he came, the pastor said, hey, brother, could you take this brother home? You know, and I said, yeah, I'll take him home. And the brother went on and got in the car with the brother and went on his way. And finally got home and maybe traveled back to his where he lived. And one day he came back to visit again, that same church. And the pastor asked the brother, hey, would you take this brother home again like you did last time? The brother said, no, pastor, I don't want to ride with him. What? No, pastor, I don't want to ride with him. Please don't let me ride with him. I'm pastor. I'd rather walk than ride with him. What's the matter, brother? He said, last time you sent me with that brother, he stopped at a gentleman's club. And I had me in the car while he was inside of there, inside that gentleman's club. Then he took me on home. I do not want to hang out with this brother. So there's a lot of folk I wouldn't want to hang out with. I want to hang out with Christians, people that love the word, people that want to live the word. That's who I want to hang out with. That's right. Amen. Amen. As people say, well, you know, you just got a phobia. No, I ain't got a phobia. I see a spirit. And I don't need that spirit trying to jump off on me. Amen. Well, you just think it's not that. It's not them attacking me. It's not them. It's a spirit that they carry, and that spirit wants to attack me. Oh, church. Y'all think these things are far-fetched. I mean, I can tell you about experiences. I mean, I've been in a room, and just business meeting. And I'm sitting here just in the room, and then it's a spirit just kind of, I just felt a spirit in this room. I felt a homosexual spirit. And the guy that I'm sitting there talking to, he looked so normal. But I say, something wrong here. I say, I ain't going out to lunch with this guy right here. I don't know what it is, but this guy right here, I will not go to lunch with him. I don't care how much business that they want to talk about. I won't go with him, not by myself. There's a spirit here. He didn't look like he had no spirit, but I felt it come up in the room. See, it's a spirit that attacks. And what you're trying to do is guard yourself from that spirit. It's not a phobia. I'm fighting spirits. I got enough spirits to fight already. I don't need to fight that one. All right. Which verse. Okay, verse 11. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And see, it's the weak preaching of the gospel that got the people in a blind condition, and they can't find the door. They can't find the door because of the weak preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. And when you get the strong preaching like this, people don't want the door. The door is Christ, right? That's deliverance for you. But the weak preaching of the gospel has the people not able to find the door. They actually think it's acceptable to live these type of lifestyles in the church, praying, speaking in tongues. I mean, everything you name, they're doing it all. They're doing it all and think their prayer is being heard. You're getting ready to be judged. Look. The men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Now look what the angel asks Lot. Do you have son-in-laws? Do you have sons? And do you have daughters? Now, I didn't catch this. A young man helped me see this. I was at Brother Nathan's church teaching one time, and I just went right over the top of this. And I was asking, saying, why do you think Lot's wife looked back in her heart? And one of the young men say, oh, she was thinking about her grandkids. I said, what? I said, no, brother, that's not what. And Brother Nathan said, that's exactly what the prophet said. I said, what? Think about her sons and her grandkids. And I say, oh, Lord. Now, brother, I don't think that's in Scripture. But when I read the story again, the angel asks, do you have son-in-laws, sons, and daughters? Now, the angel, it wasn't like the angel didn't know what Lot had. So when Brother Branham said that she was thinking about her grandkids, oh, Lord Jesus. She was thinking about her grandchildren, thinking about her children that was stuck down there in Sodom. That's what caused her heart to turn back. Now, you know what? It seemed to me that that's very natural, that a mother would be concerned about her grandkids and her kids. But all I can say, mothers, be more concerned about the word of God. And somehow, I mean, look here. If God was able to bring Lot out, God somehow reached them some kind of way and get them out. But you be concerned about the word of God. Amen. Look at it. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou there any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord have sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. I told you his daughters were married. He spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, you know, what happened, what I feel here is that he's mocked. Sometimes we can live a life so low that people don't even respect what we're saying. And I just look at this. The scripture say he went to his sons-in-law. I wonder what was the relationship between his sons that he, no conversation ever with them. But the angel knew he had sons and daughters. Look at it. Says, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Look at this. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So, you know, Lot was not in a hurry. Lot just lingering around. Destruction, he's been told this place is going to be destroyed, and he's just lingering around. We got to get in a hurry. Amen. We got to get in a hurry. Church destruction is on the way. Like they said, the songwriter used to say, It won't be water, but it'll be fire next time. There's going to be some destruction coming. And it's because of the sin that is in the earth. You know, even in the days of Noah, God destroyed because it just the sin that was in the earth. God repented him that man was even made. And the problem is you can tell people that they're wrong. They don't even care. They don't even care. They've been given over to lasciviousness, the hardness of their hearts, you know, giving them over this, but they don't even care. Look at, it goes on to say this. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. So he's not wanting to go where they're telling him to go. Now watch this. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Now let's look at this. Let's look at this. Now, Lot is trying to negotiate to go elsewhere. The angel knows exactly where he wants you to go, but not Lot negotiates, and he wins in the negotiation. Now watch this. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted the concerning accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Now, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So here he is in the city. Man, I tell you what, there's a lot here. I mean, you can just preach. Y'all look at this. The angels say, escape thee thither. I cannot do anything till thou come thither. So he had to get into the city. His wife, his daughters, they made it into Zoar. Oh, God. They made it. You see, and it's just like, let me just put it this way. Sometimes you can have folk that actually make it here to church. They make it. They get here. They hear the word. But something on the inside is still not right. And sitting right here in the midst of the word, and something is still not right. Look at what happens to Lot's wife. Look. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. Now we know this is her looking back in her heart, because the scripture just told us that they made it to Zoar. Right? So there's something in her. She's out. She's out of Sodom, but her heart is still in there. And the other thing Brother Branham told us, that she began to think about her grandchildren and her children. I have to bring that quote to y'all. I have to bring that one. She began to think about her grandchildren and her children, which I think is very normal and very natural. But they're, you know, they're, like I said, the most important thing, especially when you're dealing with spirits like this, keep the word first. Put your heart on the word. And you have to release some things to promise of God, and where God said somehow mysterious fingers will unravel the knots. But you know what? I'm not going to lower my standards. I'm not doing that. Oh God. Amen. You know, sometimes we just make people feel so comfortable in their sin. Well, we're just going to invite you over. We're going to have some fellowship. We're going to do this. Well, if we're going to fellowship, let's pull out the Bible. Let's read. You need to understand what you're doing is not right. And you're going to have to face God with this. Amen. His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, you know, when I read that, I thought about when Abraham was first, it was revealed to him that destruction was on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham began to pray. Peradventure, there'd be 50 righteous. Peradventure, 45. Peradventure, 40. Peradventure, 30. Peradventure, 20. Oh, God, please don't get upset with me. I'm going to ask you one more. Peradventure, 10. If there's 10 righteous, will you not destroy? He said, if I can find 10 righteous people in there, I won't destroy. And I put it this way, not even Lot's wife was righteous. Not even Lot's wife. Lot was all messed up too. His daughter's messed up. Let me just read it a little bit more here. And Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. Now, remember he was begging the angel to go to this little city? When he get down, the angel know where you're supposed to go? And the angel had already told him to go to the mountain, but he wanted to go to this little city, Zoar. And when he get down there, he feel very uncomfortable. You know, oh, God Almighty, as believers, there should be some situations that we are in that we should feel very uncomfortable. Amen. Oh, glory. I'll leave the reading there, but I will tell you this, that you keep on reading, there's more problems in Lot's family. After he finally get out and his wife is no longer there, now his daughters decide to get him drunk, get their own daddy drunk, and then have sexual relations with their own daddy. Incest. That was another problem back in Lot's day. So when Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, the other problem we're going to have in this day, incest. Boy, I tell you, it's the truth anyhow. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna just say it like this. Fathers, make sure your daughters are dressing appropriately around you. And daddy, make sure you're dressing appropriately around your daughter. Amen. These are spirits. You know, the first guy that the girl gonna love is her daddy. She'll love her daddy. But you got to watch that. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to watch that. As she develops and gets older, you watch how you touch her. Hello, somebody. Watch how you hug her. Watch all these things. Amen. Because Lot's daughters didn't think that God could provide them with husbands again. So here they had children from their own daddy. I mean, you talk about being delivered from Sodom and then get involved in something like that. And I like to say it like this. Lot wasn't that drunk. It happened two nights in a row. Come on, Lot, you ain't that drunk. Amen. Well, they got me drunk. No. That ain't good enough. And I know that's the truth because they tried to get David's warrior, Uriah. Boy, David tried to get him sloppy drunk. Man, I come on in from the war, and David done took advantage of this man's wife and trying to put it on Uriah and said, come on in from the war, and I'm going to get you so drunk, then you're going to go down and be with your wife. Uriah got drunk and said, no, I can't go out and be with my wife when all the soldiers out there battling on the battlefield. I'm going to sleep right here. So it wasn't that drunk. Lot wasn't that drunk. These are spirits that we have to be watchful of. I got to preach truth. Sin, these are things that God's going to judge. Let me just try to finish this tonight if I can. I want to go back to this slide. Slide 29. And I'm reading a few quotes. I'm going to the message, the trial. It says, but memory record, the seventh church age, which is the Laodicean church age. Well, we would admit that this is the Laodicean age. Congregation says, amen. Remember, he, the word, was put out of the church. Is that right? Amen. Put out of the church, and he was on the outside trying to get back in. So I told you, the church has failed because of the weak preaching of the gospel. This is why we have so much sin in the church. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. The other problem that I'll tell you that's the church, because you have women preachers in the pulpit, that's actually a spiritual homosexual relationship taking place in the church. Amen. Because the church is a woman. And if you have a woman behind the pulpit giving to a woman, that's a spiritual homosexual relationship. And people just tell you, well, you know, they don't believe in women preachers. Yeah, there's a reason. That's a spiritual homosexual relationship. So now, spiritually, if that's released in the church, what do you think is going to happen naturally? Amen. All right. And that's why the church can't do nothing with the homosexuals that come into the church. They can't do nothing with them. All right. Put out of church, and he was on the outside trying to get back in. I stand and knock at the door. And you say that I'm rich and have need of nothing, and knowest thou not that you're miserable, blind, naked, wretched, and don't know it. He was on the outside, the word. What is it? Our traditions, our Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal traditions has rejected the word. And he can have no cooperation nowhere. Everybody is hands off of it and want to call it an evil spirit. And do you understand that Jesus said in the last days before the coming of the end time that he would be revealed again as Son of Man, not Son of God, and that fulfills Malachi 4 and all these other promises of Abraham, the last sign that Abraham received. He was waiting for a coming son, and the last sign that he was received was in the days of Lot in Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It says, now, will you forgive me for to make a little deep statement here? I want to ask you theologians something. Search back through the scriptures, through Bible history. As you've been telling me this week, you was a scripture reading man. The apostolic age is finished. You know all the history of the church. I want you to call this to your attention. God, forgive me for breaking this out if it's not right to do it. The world is setting exactly time for it. The world never was in such a time as this, as in a Sodom condition. Last week in Florida, the state of Florida, 60-something percent of the school teachers was put out of the school for homosexual. Now, think about this. This is 1964. If a teacher was homosexual, 1964, they got rid of him, got him out of the school. It's 2022. That don't happen no more. If they're homosexual, they're actually trying to teach that it's okay in school. And our kids have to sit there and deal with these teachers. Brother Ram said, we're setting in Sodom conditions again. It says 60-something percent of the school teachers were put out of school for homosexual. 40-some-odd percent increased over California over last year, homosexual. The schools, the seminaries, did you hear that? The seminaries, full of it. And I told you, I I had a conversation with a couple that met at a seminary. Did they read Genesis 19? Did they ever stop to do that? Was that ever devotion? Did they just, let's just, here's what I would suggest. Let's read the Bible. Let's start at Genesis chapter 1. You already know Genesis 19 is coming, but just get them to read the Bible. Oh my goodness. Here, he said, my God, the seminaries, everything is full of it. She's getting exactly where it was in the days of Sodom. God will be obligated if he don't punish this nation and this world for its sins. He'll be morally obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for burning them. Look at the hour we're living in. Think now a minute. Court before you make your decision. All right, this next quote is in the Angel of the Lord. He says, now notice in the old days when God told Moses, now you go and I'll send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I prepared. Beware of him, obey his voice, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. That angel was the angel of the covenant, which was Christ Jesus. The people, many of them did not believe it. Those who did not believe perished. Those who did believe went on into the promised land. And the men who reject light went into total darkness. And I believe today those who reject the Holy Spirit and the light of God, the days of miracles and so forth, go back into total darkness. And we've seen that. People that have rejected this word, they end up in total darkness. It says, did you see how Pharaoh's heart, how dark it got? He did not have nothing to do no more with the Israelites. He showed them no favor. Oh, God. There are people that leave this message and they just, I ain't never coming back. Watch your heart. It's getting dark. It's getting dark. And as your heart gets dark, you might find, you're going to find yourself in some situation that you never know how you got there because you rejected the word, right? Brother Branham's daughters one time told him, said, Daddy, I'll never marry a man like you because he's always on the road, going here, going there, I'll never marry a man like you. So, you know, he didn't take it offensively what he said. He says, now, would you rather have a man that beat up on you all the time? A man like me. Daddy, I'd rather have a man like you. All right. Glory to God. People that, you know, reject this word, they refuse to walk in this word, they move closer and closer to darkness. Did you see how Pharaoh's heart, how dark it got? He did not have nothing to do no more with the Israelites. He showed them no favor because he hardened his heart against the light. And men who harden their heart against the light walk in darkness. Amen. All right, this quote out of Events Made Clear by Prophecy. John the Baptist, he was a wild man down there, some screaming maniac. All but those disciples that he presented to Jesus Christ as a church. There it is, John made ready a people. How many did he have? You could count them on both fingers, both hands, your fingers. How many had John presented to Jesus when he come? Now, what about his second coming? Think of it. When the Bible believers see the word so openly vindicated for the age, they believe there's no way to keep them from it. Believe it. They even seal their testimony with their blood. They believe it. It's to them, the predestinated, that for the certain age that sees and believes. Others just can't see it. They're blinded. Now you say they can't see it? No, like Balaam. Why couldn't Balaam see that? He was a prophet, anointed. Why didn't Pharaoh see it? When he seen the hand of God come down and perform miracles in there, it only hardened his heart. Is that right? Why couldn't Dathan see it? A Jew himself right out there had come through the Dead Sea and eat the manna every night that fell fresh and still couldn't see it. Why didn't Korah see it? Why didn't Caiaphas see it? If he was the head religious man of the world at the time, why didn't he see that was Messiah? Why didn't Judas see? Judas was right with them, walking with them, performing miracles with them. But the word had to be fulfilled. The Bible says they was raised up to take that place. They was raised for that purpose. That's true. Romans 8 says that. Romans 9:17 speaks of Pharaoh being raised up so God could show his power. Now the believers can see the word is made flesh in their generation. God speaking. Now them real true believers, them 7,000, or was it 700 in the days of Elijah? 7,000 is right in the days of Elijah. There was 7,000 men out of about 2 or 3 million that saw it. That was right. Not even a hundredth of the people, hardly, but they saw it. It was right. They saw God manifested. That old widow that Elisha was sent to, she went to get those sticks to make a cake, and just enough to make a cake for her and her son, and then die. But watch, Elijah said, make me one first, for thus saith the Lord, the barrel will not fail, neither will the cruse run dry, until the day the Lord God sends rain upon the earth. No question, she took right off to make the cake and give it to him, said, make mine first, and then go make one for you and your son. For she heard that man and looked at him. She was a predestinated seed. As we just kind of bring this to a close, as I mentioned earlier, Lot's wife looked back in her heart, and what she failed to do is just keep the word first. And that's what I want to encourage us, no matter what, keep the word of God first. We might have loved ones in all kind of conditions. It's spirits that's attacking our loved ones, but keep the word of God first. Amen. Don't allow your phileo love, because that's what it is. Don't allow your phileo love to override what the word of God says. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. It's truth. And the scripture tells us that we'll know the truth, and the truth is what will make us free. God, it's no doubt that when we talk about things like this, and we have many loved ones, many, that are trapped in these situations. The spirit has attacked them, Lord, and we realize, God, that only you can bring deliverance from any spirit. And the one thing that we do know is that there is nothing too hard for our God. So, Lord, we want to just hold true to the word. We don't want to look back and like Lot's wife did. Lord, just reading the scripture, she come all the way out. But, Lord, in her heart, she's looking back. She's got to go forward. That's what we have to do. We have to choose to go forward with you. You'll unravel the knots. You'll take care of it. You know every promise that you've given to us, and not one word that you've spoken will fall to the ground and return void. So, Lord, help us just to rely on you, to trust in you. Give us wisdom as we navigate this. Lord, we're not, all we do is bring the word, and Lord, it's the word that brings a change. Yes, our lives will be judgment to many that refuse to walk according to the word. But Lord, we pray that you give hearts that are soft and tender. You turn hearts towards you. You, God, somehow would unravel every knot. Help the people to see, Lord, that they got to stand before a holy God someday. Bring deliverance, oh God, in the only way that you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll give you the announcements. So don't forget, we'll be here Sunday morning for prayer, 9 to 10. And 10:30 service will start. We'll continue to stream through Twitter and Facebook, and also on our church website. Next Wednesday, we actually have Brother Andrew Glover scheduled to preach for us on next Wednesday. So want to encourage everybody to come and be a part of that. And then on Wednesday, the 29th, the following Wednesday, 2 weeks from now, we won't have service because we won't be able to get the school open. Our youth outing is coming up this weekend, and I want to thank everybody for working with Brother Simba and Sister Ruth on this. And I know, certainly looking forward to what our future is going to be with our young people, and just thanking God for them taking on this responsibility. So we have that coming up, the youth outing. And I think most of the families here should have been invited to join a little group where we're going to share all the information about what's going on with the youth. And, you know, that way you'll know. So If you didn't get that invitation, let us know. We'll make sure that you get it. Don't forget the camp meeting for Brother Brown, St. Augustine. That's coming up June 24th through 26th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And encourage anyone that would like to go to be a part of it. And I know there's, like I said, there's a number of meetings that are coming up. Brother Armstrong is having meetings in September. I believe Brother Brother Simmons. Brother Simmons is also having meetings end of July. And so just July 30th, I believe, they're having meetings up in South Carolina. So keep that in mind. We have a couples date night that we're also kind of going to be doing. This is for the couples, the marriages, and the church. We had the marriage conference that we all went to, most of us went to, and we're just trying to keep things going here with the couples. So Saturday, July 9th is the date that's been chosen. 6 p.m. is the time. For more information, we're asking that you would just reach Brother Troy or Sister Tanya to get more details on that. But this is strictly for the married couples, amen, in our church. So keep that in mind. We're going to be doing that on Saturday, July 9th. Amen, our first one. I think we have a couple other announcements here. Don't forget, Brother Wesco's 80th birthday celebration happening on July 4th, which they'll be doing a picnic at Carlin Park. I believe so far I've been given names about 30 people in our church that plan on going. If anybody else plans to go, please make sure you get me a name so we can give them the final count. They're looking to do this. They want to get the final count within the next couple of weeks. So if you plan on going, please let us know. We'll be doing service with them on July 3rd, Sunday morning, July 3rd. We won't be here. We'll be at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle doing service with them during Brother Wesco's 80th birthday celebration. And then also, don't forget, Brother Gwenna will be coming July 22nd through 24th, and many of the saints from the church coming over, and we're having meetings there on the weekend of July 22nd, 24th. We will be there for all the services. So keep that in mind, amen. Our giving, we have Zelle, PayPal, Cash App. If you use PayPal, the email address is giving@john423.org. If you use Zelle, the email address is the same, giving@john423.org. If you use Cash App, it's $ Spirit and Truth T. And also we have an address here on the bottom that you can mail your tithing and offering into. So praise the Lord. Before we depart, anybody have a testimony or prayer request that they'd like to make mention of? Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay, we'll remember these requests. Okay. Okay, all right. All right, we'll remember him in prayer. And I know Brother Quaker will be traveling on tomorrow, going down into South America, so we'll remember him in prayer as well as he travels. Yes. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, Father, we just come before your presence, and we thank you that we can bring every request to you. We ask that you look upon Sister Virginia's friend, and Lord, may the trip that she takes be a fruitful trip. We know cancer's not too hard for you, God, so we ask that you would just intervene, and Lord, that you would just use her for your glory and for your honor to be strength and encouragement to this friend. And we just commit her, Lord, into your hands. We also want to remember Brother Simba's sister, who is the luggage has been lost. God, you're the same God that knew where the horses were for Saul. God, you know exactly where the luggage is for her. So I pray that it would be returned. I've been in that situation before, and I know, God, that you're able to bring it back. So may they find it, may they track it down, and may they get it back to her. We also want to remember, oh God, our brother Kwaku as he travels and going into South America. May you use him for your glory as he's there. And Lord, just anoint him afresh with the right words to speak, Father, to the people. Use him, Lord God, as our prayer. Want to remember our precious brother Wisdom. Lord, the enemy attacking him and he's been hospitalized. And Lord, I pray that you just move, amen, on behalf of our precious brother. We remember his faithfulness, Lord, to the ministry. And Lord, just pray that you would just be faithful to him even now, God. Whatever the situation is, may it be reversed. May he get better. Lord, may he be made whole, Father. Lord, as I pray, in between him and the condition, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus. We also pray for Sister Sarah, who's not feeling well in her body. Ask that you would touch her. And that, Lord, you would just raise her up for your glory. Whatever it is that the enemy has planned, we cancel that attack. In the name of Jesus, we ask your blessings upon the saints as they prepare to leave this place, but not your presence. May you keep us, oh God, until we're able to come back together again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Want to also thank the Lord for Sunday. I did see the service. I really enjoyed Brother Smiley. Amen. And the sermon there. I was able to catch some of it while I was there in Vancouver. Near Vancouver, I should say, but just really, really enjoyed, amen, just seeing how the Lord just moved here. So thank the Lord. So God bless you. I have the brothers come at this time to dismiss you, and I will be back on Sunday morning at 10:30. God bless you.